And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of the crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, to tell you the truth, I'm pretty excited to teach this next message. It's been a long time since I've taught this. I've mentioned two elements in this, and we're going to discuss those. But these are things that the Lord communicated to me during two fasts. Sometimes the details become a bit fuzzy, perhaps due to my aging. But I will do my best to convey to you what the Lord conveyed to me. If anything from this can help you draw closer to the Lord, then it's worth its weight in gold. Next, we're going to examine two brilliant classic examples from the Old Testament. Last week we were going to do that, and we never got to them. I ran out of time. In these two examples, we hope you're going to get a chance to see that you must stand firm in the Lord and not be swayed by those around you. Everyone may think you're crazy, and you know what? Maybe you are. I know I'm a little bit crazy. But if being crazy leads me to spend eternity with God and gain access to heaven through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, then I will gladly be crazy. That simple. And finally, we're going to conclude this particular teaching by understanding how Jesus approached the approval of men and God. We aim to follow Jesus' example, and he made it clear what he was living for, regardless of the cost. Standing with anything other than the voice of God is utter foolishness. We will examine how Jesus processed this in his thinking so we can follow his example.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. So much more. But remember, it's not professional radio. I don't know. We don't have to even define that. You already know that. It's just radio. That's why you can have a teaching, and then somebody calls up and asks the question. It goes along with the teaching, and we talk about it. Why? Because we're people. We get to do that. But here's the bottom line. If you want to, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, live during the show. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I don't care if you're in San Diego or if you're in Denver or if you're in Dallas or if you're in Detroit. If you're in a submarine, I would be very impressed. You can also call us, by the way, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. All right, folks, here's a good one. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like eating your favorite donut. All right, what's your favorite donut? What's your favorite donut?
I'm going to go the basic pick. I'm going to go glazed.
Glazed, regular glazed. Okay.
Yep.
I like the chocolate, the glaze with the chocolate and the cream inside. I like those.
Those are good.
Yeah, yep. I just love them. I just think they're really good. But if the cream's not good, then it's kind of ruins the whole, it's got to be good, fresh, really, But you're right. In a pinch, Just give me a glazed donut.
Yep.
And I know some
that's
people
the go-to.
Like, I mean, no, she likes sprinkles and stuff. It's like, nah, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat it with sprinkles, but I mean,
if I see
a bunch of donuts there, I'm grabbing the glaze.
Yeah. It's just, you know, solid, like a rock. Okay, that's what it's like talking to Jam and Jacob. So here's the whole point of telling you that. If you've got a prayer request, why don't you call or why don't you text or why don't you email and we'll pray about it. Well, do you guarantee an answer? I guarantee one thing. Only one thing. I don't guarantee you. There's only two things that are certain. Death and taxes, right? That's wrong, because if the rapture is even remotely correct under the premillennial aspect, there was many people that won't die. So death isn't going to happen, and tons of people don't pay taxes. So both those things are stupid. Here's the one thing I guarantee. No matter what happens, you will face God. That's an absolute. And in facing God, he'll say, hey, I was there for you. Did you believe? Did you try? Did you work out? Did you? Yes. Stood there with my brother and sister and believed in faith, Lord. I know you did. That's what you want to hear. Or you want to hear, well done, right? Yes, that's what we want to hear. So listen, you can have a prayer request. You can have a praise report, something the Lord has done in your life. And you know what? You got to share it. I've really noticed the Lord, I mean, really challenging me. And I've been doing this stuff a long time, been in ministry a long time. I've been a Christian a long time. I've noticed the Lord challenging me. It's like, you need to be a little more appreciative on those small items, Dave. Like, oh, you don't just give praise for the big stuff. It's not just a band scenario. When the Lord does something and you know it's small, but it's something pertaining to you and you know there's a touch of grace in it, even if you never call this show or do anything else, you tell the Lord thank you. Because that is showing appreciation for your king. But you have an opportunity on the show to also share, and we want to make sure you do that. In doing that, you call, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can also share a joke if it's remotely funny. Mine aren't, so you have a very low bar to get over on that end. You know, we'll do some history in a little bit. Plus, we're going to do right now trivia. And we've been doing these trivias, and I like these a little bit. They got an interesting challenge to them. Here it is. Who is this person? I was the brother of John. King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter, James, or Philip? Acts chapter 12. 1-2. So I can give you that reference because it's not in the title. See what I'm saying? I was the brother of John. King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter, James, or am I Philip? And you're looking for Acts chapter 12, verse 1-2. There is your points of working it and trying to figure it out. Those are all very, very important things. And these are all very, very important things for us to know because we need to know what the Scripture says. And I know people are like, oh, you need to know what the Scripture says. If they start making it more harder and harder for what's in the Bible, you need to get the Bible, to read the Bible, you need to know the Word of God. He didn't put it on earth so we can all go, oh, isn't that nice? Let's have it on the coffee table. That is not the purpose of the Word of God. It's called the Word of God. See, that's word because it's words. see how we do that? Okay. All right, one more time, and then we'll take our caller. I was the brother of John. King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter, James, or Philip? Your answer, Acts chapter 12, verse 1-2. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Then let us bacon, lettuce, and tomato. Let us send that person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Ooh, ran a little long on that one. This is David. Who am I talking to? Uh-oh. Away they went.
Yep, away they went.
Okay. Away with thee. No. We'll just call back. They're right there. Do you like that? Away with thee. That's funny. All right, we're going to put them straight through because this is probably just somebody in a bad area or, you know, having a moment. You know what I'm saying? All right, put them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is the guy from the Yellow Submarine.
We all live in a yellow... Okay, gotcha. What's going on, little brother? How are you? You there?
Be good.
Okay, okay. Popping in and out there. Stay with us. Stay with us. All right.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm gonna do the trivia question, okay?
Sure.
Okay, and then we'll wait till I give the answers, and then you give the answer. I was the brother of John, and then King Herod had me killed. Who am I? Am I Peter, James, or Philip?
James.
James is correct, Amundo! Right you are, sir. Right you are. Anyway, how are you, man?
Good. I want to share a funny thing. Last Monday, at my church, I lead a grief share program. So there was a brother. His name is Dr. Jesse. So we are in the fourth week. And he said, man, are you the same person who called David? Because your name is Sams, and then you have an accent. I said, surely I do.
So you hooked up with Dr. Jesse, huh?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
He was hesitant to ask me.
That is...
But then he did. I said yes.
Wow. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you guys get to meet as brothers. That's just an awesome, awesome thing. You'll be brothers together for all eternity, and that part's awesome. But then you get a chance to meet him and get to know him. What a blessing.
Yes, it is.
That is so cool. I so thank you for sharing that. That is really something that's encouraging for people. So that's really, really good, man. Wow.
Cool.
I love it.
I got to share with Brother David.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. I always think the Lord's got – I'm just one of those people that think, okay, so see, the Lord coordinates everything in timing perfectly, and then he has people meet at perfect times and perfect ways. And it doesn't mean that everything that happens is rosy or perfect. That's not what it means at all. But God has a purpose, and that's what's important. It's like, oh, yeah, let's find that. Let's do that thing. Awesome. Awesome testimony. Awesome share. I really, really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you, bro.
God bless you, too. Shalom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. See, is that cool? That's what we call cool, man. That is cool. All right. Okay. Let me do this. Colossians chapter 3. We got to do our DNA. We'll do DNA in the next segment, okay? So just make sure I remember it because I want to get to this real quickly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Most of you will remember the fill that I've brought up, and I would be way freaked out if it came up, but about Susie Lopez telling me, if you can't get out of it, get into it. Put all yourself into it. This passage actually backs up that kind of thinking, and what I'm trying to communicate here is whatever the Lord brings down the pipe, you got to do it. So what happens in work or what happens in life is we think we're just doing it for people, and then we think of it as us doing things for people, and gosh, aren't we great because we're doing it for people, and boy, aren't they lucky to have me because I'm doing it for them, which is the funny part of when people think that church is lucky to have me going there. And that's doing stuff for people. But that's not how the Lord is looking at you and I to look at things. We need to be looking at that. Not that people aren't involved, but we need to be recognizing that in the depth of who we are, in the inside of who we are, that we're supposed to be doing this as unto the Lord. So if you were helping somebody, let's say you were just helping somebody, somebody needed help bringing their food to the table. So let's say you're at a potluck. I'm just going to use this as an example. This is just one off the top of my head because I remember seeing something like this. And so the older person is having just a problem holding on to the plate, whatever. And so you say, hey, let me help you. And you help them get their food and get their drink. And they sit down and you bring the food and you put it in front of them. And then you're thinking, yeah, there, that's kind of nice. How would it be different if that person was the Lord? Because that's how God wants you to perceive it. Because the person they did that for, no doubt in this circumstance, was a child of the Most High God. And what you do to the children of God, you do to the Lord.
Isn't that just like, whoa, right? Ooh, you almost have to like, I get chills kind of thing, right? Okay, and we're not talking about the movie Grease. All right, so here's what I want you to catch. The first time I did a ministry fast, not the first time I fasted, the first time I did a ministry fast, the Lord was very clear. Super hard, especially for somebody like me who just loves media and all these different things. That is fun. I don't like the other stuff. I don't like the making everyone dumber in America media. I like the fun stuff, you know? The thing the Lord told me, ministry is obedience, not performance. Ministry is obedience. It's not performance. Do this. Why do I got it? Just do it. Because he asked. That's why. That's it. He's just like, oh, okay, done. Got that there. All right, I want you to hold on to that thought. We'll take our break, come back. Got so much to do. We're taking a short break, though. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Just
as I am. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Knock, knock. This is Dave. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I have a praise report.
All right. Fire away. What a great way to start my comeback. Come on. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll explain. I was in stage 4 kidney disease, and I thought I was going to have to go on dialysis because of my uncontrolled diabetes. And I got my test back yesterday, and the nephrologist told me that my kidneys are good. They're normal.
What? How did, what?
Yes.
What? You were at, wait, back up. You were at state, what? Wait, go through that again.
Stage 4 kidney disease.
And then you were praying. And I know you got prayer from other places because you need to get prayers as many places you did. But I know we did pray for you too. And it's like we're a part of that, and you're rejoicing in the Lord. That is so cool, Deborah. I am so blessed.
Oh, me too. And I want to thank everybody for their prayers, and I'm always praying for everybody too.
That is so, so good. I'm telling you that there is joy in my heart because the Lord has touched you. I am just blessed beyond measure. That is so awesome.
I know. I thought I was going to have to go on dialysis, and now I don't have to.
Praise the Lord God Almighty. Let me just give thanks while you're with me on the phone, just real quickly, if you don't mind. Let me just say a prayer for thanks. Father, we just thank you for our sister. We thank you for this praise report. We just ask you to fill her heart with joy. Continue to let her share and testify like she just did, and let it be a blessing to other people like it's just been a blessing to me. We thank you for it. We know you did it. We praise you for it. We just acknowledge you for it, and we're just so thankful for our sister and pray continued blessings in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
Oh, amen. I'm so
and
happy
God
for you.
God bless you all.
God bless you as well. How fantastic. I mean, there's nothing I can say now. What am I supposed to say? Good job, Deborah. Good job.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is so, so great.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. And remember, usually our third trivia question, a little sneaky. Right? Is that nice? Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. A little sneaky. Got to tell me who this person is. Just it's a little sneaky, right? You don't have to really blow the horn, but it's a little. This is where it's going to
We'll see. We'll see if anyone can get it.
All right. Isaac is my son. Quatura was my wife. Who am I? Isaac was my son. Quatura was my wife. Who am I? Am I Abraham, Noah, or Joshua? Genesis 25, 1 and 6. That is your reference point. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. It is time for our DNA, and we must do DNA, because if we don't do DNA, I'm going to cry. So let's do DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
How often is daily? Jacob, I'm going to say, out of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, how often is daily?
I think it's all of those days.
It's all of those days. Not like your TV guide that says the show is on Monday through Friday daily. That doesn't count. Not like our own advertising for our own show. We're on daily, although we are on Saturday and Sunday, so I could probably make a case for that. Daily, in this case, is every day that ends in Y. Draw closer to the Lord daily. Why? Best answer you will ever get to anything ever. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever, ever be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Ever. Stand firm in the confidence, in the faith, in the trust that you have that God knows how to communicate. I mean, how simple is that? That's N. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Always be ready to serve, because you could be at a Bible study or at a prayer group or something, and then you can run into somebody you've heard about for a year or two and then find out that's your brother or sister-in-law. You just got to be ready. God is doing so much, and we are so unaware. That's why when that first segment I taught on, I know that people don't always get into the very first portion of the teaching, the show, but you should, because the fact is that God is speaking and we're throwing mud in the pipe, so we're not listening. Ready to serve. And if you're listening, you're ready to serve. Get that? That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus' words. A, always be ready to serve. Okay, here's the question. Isaac is my son. Quatura was my wife.
It's Quatura.
Who am I? Am I Abraham, Noah, or Joshua? This is Genesis 25, 1 and Genesis 25, 6. Isaac is my son. Quatura is my wife. Who am I? Abraham, Noah, or Joshua. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Now, so text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Back to the text we go. Hopefully we'll get a chance to get to the jokes, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. Okay, I just told you about Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. See? Whatever you're doing, you do it for the Lord. I constantly think and pray about you as an audience. I try to remember everybody, but I think you guys would probably acknowledge by now that we've had hundreds of different callers, and so sometimes I have to group you guys because I want to eat. No, that's a joke. So anyway, the idea behind that is to understand that I think of you often, and then I come into the studio thinking, yeah. But I am behind this desk and at this microphone for him. And if he said, that's enough, then that's enough. And it wouldn't matter what anybody else said. I mean, if the Lord said, you're done, then I'm done. And see, that's where we got to get to. Now, I can do that pretty good in this. It's the other areas in my life that I'm really bad at doing that, okay? So the first fast that I have, pulling this off of work, you know, Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. So that first fast I have, ministry is obedience, not performance. Very important. And one of the big reasons is because I've got that outgoing personality when I get into these situations, but I also have a huge despisement for many of the shows that I've seen in ministry. I just think it's just horrible, right? I don't care if it's genuine. I mean, I don't care how nutty the person is. I have zero problem with that. But sometimes you're just thinking, what's going on? So the next time I did a fast, again for ministry, the Lord, I think, wanted to reaffirm what he had told me on the first fast. And that's why I lumped these fasts and the Lord speaking to me together. So I've had done several fasts throughout the 45 years and have had the Lord speak to me at various times. Not a ton. I don't know how. I mean, God speaks to me every day through his word, but he doesn't speak to me the way he speaks to me when I'm doing a fast or some of the other times where he changed my life, you know, from doing drugs to no more drugs kind of thing. But in this ministry pursuit, it was really kind of like an in-touch time with me and the Lord. So after that first ministry is obedience, not performance, the next fast that I did, which wasn't long after, which was the reinforcer, was the Lord said, was sharing with me, speak for the author and not the audience. And that just reinforces that ministry is obedience and not performance. When you speak, you want to be a blessing. There's no pastor, I'm just telling you right now, there's no pastor that ever gets up there who's a real pastor who wants to do anything but help people, encourage people, bless people. Even if he's got to teach on sin, doesn't matter. Okay? The idea is to have people draw closer to the Lord. And I mean, that is really the process that's going on. And there's zero wrong with that, and that's all good. There are some people that just speak because they just like to speak, but some people really have a desire to minister and to help people. But we can easily get caught up in audience reaction. I do the same thing. Every pastor does. Every pastor who has more than one person who's watching or listening does it. Just so you can know. Every spokesperson, just one of those things. And we have to constantly challenge ourselves to say, not for the audience, but for the author himself. And that he would minister to the audience. See, I can't make the Holy Spirit do anything. Or otherwise, I just have a lot more of the Holy Spirit. Just say that real quickly. But what I can do is keep the focus on where it's supposed to be. And when you're ministering or when you're doing things and you're doing it for your family and you're serving your family and you're loving your family, remember, ministry is service. So when you're serving your family, you do it for your family, but do it unto the Lord. Because it's for the author. Everything we do is for the author. That is the only way to do it right. And just so you can know, I'll get to the other verses in a second, but I just got to pull this one up. This Galatians 1:10, Paul writes, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, they need to take that passage, put it in a little tinfoil ball and stick it in the ear of every person who tries to tell people what Christians ought to be. Just right there. Bam. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Bam. Okay. I think that's a mic drop. Like, okay, that'd be the end of that. All right, triv question where's our triv question? Isaac was my son, and Keturah was my wife. Who am I? Am I Abraham, Noah, or Joshua? The answer is Abraham. It was Abraham. Well, that's kind of a Scottish kind of thing right there, wasn't it? I'd never done that before.
It sounded like it.
Yeah. It's Abraham. Oh, okay. All right, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is some really important stuff, so I don't want to by any means fail to communicate it. So I'm going to kind of run it back through so you can follow it and just pick up on a point or two. As they rode, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" "You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he can, right? So he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And I want to just, this is, and then I got one more point. That's why I split it up this way. Here's the thing, and I know it's ridiculous to say, but I'm going to say it to you, and it's important for you to recognize. There's a lot of trials going on right now in the world, in your life, in your family, in different people's lives. I understand it happens for me too, okay? I got a daughter who's going through the mill. I got a son who's recovering from COVID. You know, you've got all these things going on, and people that we love having a hard time going through the up and the down, and you know there's a lot of that stuff going on. I understand. But there is another part of me that also understands this text. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because he's saved. That's why. And all the stuff that we go through, it's a drag. It's like, rrr. But there is coming this moment where the fullness of the redemption, of the salvation that's been granted to us by grace, received by faith from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, we're going to get the fullness of that. We'll be dancing on streets of gold. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more memory of all of the ridiculousness. And it will be awesome. And if that's not a reason to rejoice, then we have lost our mind. We're going through a difficult spot, and not every spot's difficult, let's at least be honest, but if you're going through it for 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, it has its moments. But there is a salvation that is eternal, that doesn't have a limit to the number, and this is, and I still say that what Rick Warren wrote in the Purpose-Driven Life, that first page is the best page of the entire book. You know, your life is like a 1/16th or 1/32nd of an inch on a 100-mile-long piece of tape. That's what this life is. And it's important for us to understand that we have a cause for rejoicing. And for all of the pain and the sorrow, there's nobody that ought to rejoice more than us.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I want to say hi to everybody who has just been – you guys are just a great blessing. So I just want you guys to know that, and I appreciate it and appreciate everybody and pray for you guys. Is it Waxahachie? Is that what it's called? Waxahachie, Texas? Is that the city?
Waxahachie?
Waxahachie.
Yep.
Okay, saying hi to everybody in Waxahachie. I got a call from them yesterday. The whole city. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke, but I do appreciate the call. And hey to Jay. Jay, I got your thing. I was going to text you and then spaced. It's just one of those things. Here's your first trivia question. Who is this person? Now, remember, first one's pretty much easier. Second one's usually not too hard. Third one's a little sneaky. The fourth one's always the most difficult. And then we come back with the fifth one that's kind of like, not too bad. Okay, here we go. There's a little tougher. So listen to what I say. Okay. I took the Babylonian spoils. And he was from the tribe of Judah. And he took silver. Who was it? Was it Ethelfel? Was it Shalsay or Achan? This is in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Who took the spoils that they weren't supposed to be taken? Was it Ethelfel, Shal, or Achan? Hey, see, that rhymed. See, that's why I did that. That's why I did that. All right, who was it? Okay. Was it Athafel, was it Chelsea or was it Aiken? Who took the spoils? In the meantime, and by the way, Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. In the meantime, I do need to send you up to the website because we need money. Do we need a ton of money? Nope. We just need people to give. Do your best. That's what we tell people on a regular basis. Do your best, okay? Don't forget that Monday, our five-year anniversary special show, going to be doing some different kinds of teaching. Plus, we are going to give some gifts away. That's all I'm going to say. Gifts away. Wow. And then don't forget to be praying for us. We're trying to figure out Isaiah next for Samuel next or 3 John. And I don't know, just so you can know, because those other books are bigger, I'm leaning to 3 John, but, you know, I'm not committed. So I'm just telling you, so just be in prayer for us. Check all that stuff out, plus giving. Oh, wait, we have a give passage. Hold on. Given will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And that's by God, not by anybody else. Bottom line, check it out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
I just said that the other day, the Kindle. Okay. Anyway.
That exact thing.
Yep, that exact thing.
Maybe in a little bit of a different language.
All right, somebody is on the line, and they are assuming ready to give us the true answer. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, Dr. Dave. This is Dr. Jesse.
Hello, Dr. Jesse. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
It's going wonderful. I heard that you had a chance to meet somebody who you knew on the show.
Yeah, I sure did. My brother, Samson.
Yeah, was
Samson,
it,
yes.
Was that awesome or what?
It was really cool. He was talking, and I was there in the meeting in the group, and then it just hit me, and I thought, wait a minute, Samson? That really? How many Samsons could there be with that accent?
That's hilarious.
He did it well too. He was very gracious.
How many could there be with that accent? So funny. That is brilliant, brother. That is brilliant. All right. All right. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
All right. Great.
That is great. Great. A very, very
and,
happy
oh, hey,
for you.
And the sister who called in about stage 4 renal disease?
That's a fill from Deborah, but she's been in that place. But the Lord healed her.
I've been away for a little, you know.
Yeah, no, I know that. That's okay. That's all right. All right.
But praise God.
Are you ready for the triv question?
Yes.
All right.
Please.
Let me ask it. Let me ask it and give all the answers, and then you give me the answer, okay?
All right. Got it.
Here we go. I took from the Babylonian spoils. I took silver. I wasn't supposed to do that. And I was from the tribe of Judah. Who am I? Am I Athafel, Chelcey, or Aiken? Who am I?
I'm going to go with the only one I can pronounce. Aiken?
That is correct, Amanda!
All right. Praise God.
And after that, Aiken was Aiken because he had done something where it was something that was against the Lord, so he was breaking it. And then the Lord said, now you're Aiken, and it's over.
Breaking Aiken.
Yep, that's exactly it, brother. Excellent job, Brother Jesse. Excellent phone call, my friend.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice.
Yes. It's good to talk to you, and I'm very thankful for our family and our David Spoon Experience family, you could say.
It is a wonderful fellowship group, is it not?
I'm enjoying what God's doing with it.
Amen, brother. I'm with you on that.
Praise God.
All right, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, excellent calls, excellent job by Brother Jesse. Very, very, very good. So we're going to go right into the teaching because we are just running out of time. Just don't talk about it. We're running out of time. All right, let's go back to this. I want to make sure you understand how serious this is. We're never going to get to the people I was going to talk about, so let's go back to this real quickly. Here it is. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture. I want you to bear with me and listen because it's important, okay? Picking this up in Mark chapter 15, verse 16, or verse 6. Mark 15, verse 6. Here's what it says. Now, it was the custom of the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually does. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing that it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to them. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they said. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. And they shouted louder, "Crucify him." Verse 15, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them and had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Just think. Unfortunately, Pilate, very political, right? And you should be aware that often people in political positions make decisions right along this exact line. Not out of righteousness, but out of the need to satisfy the crowd. Whichever crowd, by the way, is most vocal. Get it? So Pilate released Barabbas to them and had Jesus flogged, had him handed him over to be crucified. If we are seeking praise from God, that would not happen. If we are seeking praise from mankind, well, the wrong answer can lead to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, it's part of God's plan. So nothing was going to escape that. And all of the brilliant commentators who said, well, this was Pilate's fault that it happened, or the Romans, or the Jews, it's very specific in the scripture. It's everybody's fault that this happened. It was the Gentiles, it was the Jews, it was the leaders, it was the servants, it was the ups, it was the downs, it was the rich, it was the poor, everybody. And it even says that in the book of Acts, that it was everybody, all the nation of the Gentiles and the people of Israel. It's like, no, it's everybody's fault. My point in bringing this up is that the wrong answer to satisfy people can lead to the declaration of crucifying the innocent. You can make all the political analogies and all the stuff that's going on now, and I understand that and don't even disagree with it. But don't take away from the application this is bringing to us on a regular, everyday, you are a Christian, you should act like one basis. And that is, in order to please everybody else, we might be in a position to make the wrong decision. So I was talking to a pastor many, many years ago. Oh, my goodness. It had to be 35 years ago, I think. We were talking about pastorates and so on. And he had a pastor at a large church, Calvary Chapel, in New Mexico. And he said, Dave, he said, just the one thing I walk by, one thing I live by. He's like, okay, what's that? It was just a great friendly conversation, I think. He goes, if the Lord has declared it and I'm the only person who knows that, I stand by it even if everybody else hates me to the end of time. He goes, because it's for the Lord. And I was like, right on. That's right. We do it for him. We make our decisions to honor him. That's how we do it. That is how you live your life. Right? All right, we'll take a short break. Wait, it gets even more intense than that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. CowPunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, CowPunch does it all. CowPunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with CowPunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? CowPunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's CowPunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CowPunchSites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And you know, every once in a while, you get some extra time in with the Lord, and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just can't wait.
What's going on? You want to know the answer, I guess.
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elisha raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually he, so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you sneeze, I mean, my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
him? Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have to sit there and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. You guys should get this. Your reference point's going to be Luke 19:1-4. I was a tax collector, and I climbed a tree to see Jesus. Who am I? Am I Matthew, Zechariah, or Zacchaeus? I was a tax collector, and I climbed a tree to see Jesus. Who am I? Matthew, Zechariah, or Zacchaeus? Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, if you think you know the answer. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email david@hemusincrease.org. We're going to do history because we have no time for the jokes. Let's do history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, now you guys have to follow this, and the one reason I did this instead of the jokes was actually this very first one, which is not food yet, but it's funny. It's earmuff day. Okay, earmuffs. Remember earmuffs? And every time I think of earmuffs, I think of Spaceballs and Princess Vespa, because she had those earmuffs that were actually headphones.
Right, right.
It's just the best.
We can't celebrate that today because I don't think it's cold enough to wear earmuffs.
It's not, and it doesn't really get that cold here. Well, I know some people think it is, but not really earmuff weather here in well, not in this part of Texas anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember ever wearing earmuffs in my life.
Oh, well, she'd have been born in Detroit. That's right. All I'm going to say. All right. Today is Donald Duck Day. You know, we've done that sneeze before. You know, that's Donald Duck sneeze. Got that. Today is Open Your Umbrella Indoors Day. I have no idea why. Who comes up with that?
Oh, I have to run home and grab my umbrella.
Yeah, okay. That's weird. And then here is, this is just a classic from my past. It's Blame Somebody Else Day. Besides Adam and Eve doing that, which we'll get into on Monday. Oh, actually, we won't get in on Monday because we're doing a special, so we'll do it a week from Monday. But this is right when it happened, when I had the red crystal light and we were in an apartment and the carpet was bright white carpet, right? And I spilled the red crystal light all over the carpet. And then when Noelle was like, what happened? I said, I don't know. I didn't do it. And then I was like, it had to be Satan. Because, you know, taking responsibility is just never fun.
I thought you were going to blame Bert.
No, this is a way.
Bert,
way,
how could
this
you?
This is pre-Bert. This is pre-Levi, long time ago. But as that stuff spread, it was bad. So we didn't get a deposit back. Let's just leave it there. Okay. 1852, Uncle Sam cartoon figure made its debut in New York. And then in 1930 in the state Pluto, the discovery of the planet Pluto is announced. It had been discovered from pictures taken earlier by Lowell Observatory in Arizona. I've prayed up there at Lowell Observatory because I was in Flagstaff for several years. And then they demoted Pluto from a planet to a dwarf planet, or not quite a planet. And I did hear a comedian say this, and I will bring this up because it's the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. He said, there's a lot of things you can do in life that to get demoted, but from a planet to not a planet has got to be the biggest.
It's a good one.
Like, you are no longer a planet. You have been demoted. Okay. All right, let me finish. This is hilarious. It's like, you were a planet? Not anymore. You've been planetized. Okay. Let me finish this off here. This is really a good part. And this is what I want you to catch. And what I'm really talking about here, and I think you guys know this, is our goal should be to live for the pleasure of the Lord, not for ourselves. I mean, I think you get that, right? In John 5, 41 through 44, this is what Jesus said. And listen, I love this translation. It means everything because it's so specific. Ready? Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 41. Ready? Your approval means nothing to me. That's just like, okay, that's it. It's like, listen to what Jesus said. Your approval means nothing to me. Verse 42, because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I've come to you in my Father's name, and you've rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you'll gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe. For you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. So this is Jesus kind of laying it down to for us to understand. Look, I'm in ministry. I'm doing the things for the kingdom of God. And what you people think who don't have the love of God means nothing. Which is why you hear me have that. It's not even a sarcastic or a mean element. It's just, I'm literally just following the Lord. Because there's people that are in media positions and politicians, all these people. And they are just, you know where they're at, and being a Christian, they just mock you and they think you're uneducated or whatever the case may be, which is hilarious because when they stand before God, all of those words, that's going to be their food for a while. But the way Jesus says your approval means nothing to me, you're like, okay. He just lays it down. So what I like to do is look at that and think, you know, where is he, you know, how does he, where is he getting that? And this is really in the same gospel where he gets that, and where he kind of lays it out is in so that was John 5, 41 through 44. This is John 4, 31 through 34. He says this. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Jesus said in verse 34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, even though I've been on a diet and I've lost a decent amount of weight, I love food. And you know what you need? You need oxygen, you need water, and you need food. And Jesus is making this absolutely clear. His food had two components, whether you think it's appetizer and main meal, or appetizer and dessert, or main meal and appetizer, or main meal and dessert, or appetizer and just dessert, I don't care. The number one component is, for Jesus said, it is to do the will of him who sent me. That is the most important thing Jesus declares. And they're sitting there thinking, this has got to be food. Somebody's bringing them an In-N-Out burger, or a Whataburger, or something. It's like, you don't get it. My food, Jesus said, what sustains me, what gives me energy, what gives me drive, what gives me pickup, all of that is to do the will of him who sent me. And then he says this, and to finish his work. In other words, I'm not going to do this half-hearted. I'm not going to do it half-committed. It is all the way in. And Christians need to be, I mean, you can't be 50% a Christian, because then you're not a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. It's kind of, I like what this one pastor said. It's like, it's kind of being a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. I mean, it's just like one of, it's like, well, you're either Christian or not. And so Jesus said, look, my process, my thought, the way that I function in this is my food is to do the will of the Lord, do the will of the Father, and to finish whatever he's put in his work before me. And everything else, I don't care. And you think, well, that just seems wrong. Well, it won't seem wrong in 80 years. gosh darn correct. You get what I'm saying? Back to the, I love those. I love this teaching because it's just so like, yeah, nowhere to go on that. All right, who is this? I was a tax collector and I climbed a tree to see Jesus. Who am I? Matthew, Zechariah, or Zacchaeus? And the answer is Zacchaeus. Luke 19, 1 through 4, because he was small of stature and could not see Jesus. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool stuff. All right, be blessed. Don't get too upset. Celebrate the little things. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.